Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres, all kinds of authors. Conversation up there right now with John Lanchester, the British best-selling, award-winning British author, wrote a book called The Wall, very timely sort of science fiction-y kind of book. Fascinating. Check it out. He's an interesting guy. I write my column for Author Magazine also, three times a week. A little essay about the nature of writing and creativity and just leading your life on purpose. Yes, I do. It's all there on authormagazine.org. You can check it out. We're also funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. PNWA is a great organization. I'm going to be teaching a couple free workshops for them in June and July, part one and two of my personal essay class. So part one, here's the thing. If you're a member of the PNWA and you're in the Northwest, you can come do this class for free. It's on a Saturday, I think the 10th of June, and then sometime in the beginning of July. Yeah, you can come. But if you're a member of the PNWA and you can't make it here, maybe you can't make it, or maybe you live somewhere else, doesn't matter. You can still listen to it on the internet. That's right. So you get this class no matter what. That's the way it works if you're a member of the PNWA. So you're going to want to sign up for the PNWA at pnwa.org. Also a great opportunity to sign up for their Writers Conference. The Pacific Northwest Writers Conference happens in September. I believe you can sign up and get extra slots to pitch your book to agents and editors still. I think that's still an option. Check it out. Check it out at pnwa.org. That's what you should do. Now, speaking of writing, this would be good. We're going to have I don't get to talk to that many writers who write about writing the way I do, but today I am. I'm talking to Alan Gelb, who's a writing coach, communications consultant for higher education, and the author of the best-selling Conquering the College Admission Essay in 10 Steps. His work has appeared in the New York Times, The Daily Beast, Next Avenue, and other publications. And within the last about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, he published 7 Steps to Confident Writing, New World Library, and he's here to talk about writing confidently with me today. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure, Alan. Let me ask you something. When did you think to yourself, of all the things I could do in the world, I want to write? That's the thing I'm going to spend a lot of my time doing. When did that decision get made in your head?
All right. Well, let me say that I've been a professional writer for about 40 years.
Yeah,
I've written novels. I've written novels under my own name. I've written novels under pseudonyms. I've written soap opera. I've written true crime book. I've written as you mentioned, communications, marketing communications for many years for colleges and universities. So I've really been in the trenches most of my life supporting myself as a writer. When did I start thinking of myself as a writer? Very, very early. I would say even as a 7-year-old, I can remember being invigorated by writing and loving it. I put it down for some years, you know, in my teens or 20s, early 20s, because I didn't know what it meant to be a writer, you know. So
you didn't know anybody.
I'd be a lawyer or something like that, you know. I actually wound up by sheer circumstance at Johns Hopkins University, not particularly knowing why I chose there and chose that, and I didn't even realize until I was well into the experience that they had one of the best writing programs in the country, graduate program. And I spent an extra year there, during which I was able to sort of gel my this identity as a writer. It was useful.
Okay, so that was at a graduate level?
Yeah, it was a master's program called writing seminars.
But you didn't go there for writing. You must have gone there for something else.
I don't know what I went there for. I just went there, you know.
You just went there.
Unlike the students I work with, who seem to know exactly what they want to do and
right.
you know, where they
know.
Want to go. Back in the day, I don't know, you just went to college, you know.
Right.
Or I did.
You're a young person. You didn't know. But you did this graduate work. You got like an MFA. Was it an MFA or something? What did it call
it?
Something
it was
else?
Called, it was an MA, but it was the same as an MFA, yes.
Okay.
It was a year of writing and, you know.
That's how you get that. And so did you go right into the fiction side of things? It sounded like
started. I went from there into publishing in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Where I went to work for G.P. Putnam's Sons. And I met my wife there, who's still my wife, 40-odd years later. I worked in publishing on and off for a few years until I, you know, kind of lost a job. And then I decided, well, I think I'll take this opportunity to write a novel, which I did. And that was one experience that led to another experience that led to another experience.
Right. Well, so you started in, so were you in the editorial side of things at Putnam?
Yes, I was an editor at the paperback division of G.P. Putnam's called Berkeley.
And so what kind of stuff did you acquire?
Oh, nothing very distinguished. You know, it was not an amazing publishing house at that time, and we picked up a lot of, you know, romance novels and you know, mysteries, some science fiction genre type stuff, but mostly genre. Yeah.
You were doing paperback stuff, and this would have been like the 80s then, probably, late 70s.
Yeah.
Early. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I actually started a quality paperback line for them, which was a little different, and that was interesting.
Oh, nice. All right, so you started from the editorial side, but that must have been instructive for you because you weren't writing your own stuff at this point, or maybe you were. Were you dabbling on the side? Were you doing trying to sort of find your own voice while that was happening?
I had written some stories, primarily while I was working publishing. I was writing stories, and one or two of them got the attention of people who were, you know, important, and they encouraged me.
That's nice.
That's how I,
Okay, so you started from that side of it. But that was once you left Putnam and you wrote were you done with the sort of working in the publishing world, or did you keep floating in and out of it?
I was done with working in the publishing world when I needed to get a job, which was periodically, you know, having a child and I needed to get a job at one of those things. Then I worked in the world of film. So I was what is called a director of development for a couple of film companies, which is interesting because you work on acquiring projects, developing scripts and stuff like that, which I enjoyed.
But how did you get from novels to that? That seems like an unusual. I mean, I have friends who work in film and television, but it's a different avenue, it seems like. How did that happen?
I was reading. I was what was called the dignified title that they give you is a story analyst. So you pick up books and you write reports on them for executives and that sort of thing. And I you know, somehow or another, I heard about a job and I applied for it and I got it. So
very good. All right. But you're writing novels. You said you wrote a lot of different stuff. And as you were, so once you actually write off publishing it and really think of yourself as a writer and not an editor, you know, it's a different hat. What part of the writing, what kept you in the writing? If you were trying to describe someone who doesn't write, or if you were trying to write a character in a novel who loves to write, how would you let the reader know what it means to like to write if they themselves don't? How would you teach them what that pleasure is?
Well, I think it's sort of an innate pleasure that, you know, not everybody will experience, but those who experience it can experience it really deeply. So for me, I was, and I continue to be quite captivated by language. And so I think that's probably the first kind of requirement that you need to have as a writer. You need to love language. Another thing that I think comes in really useful for a writer or somebody who wants to be a writer is enjoying learning and finding out about things. And I've found myself in a number of situations where I was just sort of thrown in the deep end of the pool as a writer, working in an area that I had no background in, you know, sort of be willing to do it and feeling like I could do it. And that's a gratifying and even an exciting experience.
Well,
I guess the most extreme example of that was when there was a boy. I live in a small town in upstate New York, which was a summer home for me. I was living with my family in Manhattan, and a boy on our road killed four members of his family.
Whoa.
With the help of some other people, and I wound up doing a book about that. And that was totally virgin territory for me. I was not a journalist.
Yeah.
But I was interested in it, and so I committed to it, and it was fascinating.
You know, it's really true about writing. You have to be. I was just talking to a client of mine today about that, which is that because you're always learning. That's an extreme example, like you said. But anytime you sit down to write anything, for me to stay interested, I got to go in to discover something. No matter what I think I know about it, I have to go in to learn something. I'm always trying to learn. And that, I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but I do think that's a key ingredient to all writing.
A great way to learn. When you're writing, when I was writing this book about this town that I wound up living in for the next 30 odd years, I so quickly found out so much about this town that before I had basically a very casual relationship with this town. It was a place that I visited on weekends and left and didn't know anything about it really, So it was a deep dive, yeah.
But you've gotten into writing for writers or about the writing experience. The first book you wrote about writing was Conquering the College Admission Essay in 10 Steps, right? That was the first of a sort of triumvirate that you have.
That's
yeah?
right. I wrote that in 2008, and that came about basically as through need, because my older son, who's now 39, was applying to college, and this is a small town. It's not a fancy town. It's not a town that has, a school that really caters to high-achieving students, which he was. So there were areas and pockets that were fairly weak in the school, and one of them that I uncovered in the process of my son's applying to colleges was that there wasn't really anybody that had such a good bead on how to deal with this essay on the applications. So I helped him with it. I helped his friends with it. I helped friends of friends.
Uh-huh.
And over time, I began to see that I had, collected some theories that I thought, were really solid and were worth putting into a book. And I did that. And in fact, Bill, at that point, I was sort of in a low point in my writing career. And I didn't have an agent at that point. And I sent it over the transom. So you always hear about
really?
Really? And for your readers who don't know that expression, if they follow your magazine, they probably do. But
it
means is that it's an unsolicited manuscript, and I sent it in to 10 Speed Press, and I don't know, maybe 3 months later, I got a call from the editor, and it was the single most exciting
really?
Moment I ever had in publishing, because it was like so direct, it's always through agents and stuff like that, but this is like, they want my book.
How
so
nice
that was
is that?
The first of my...
But it did Excuse well. Me? I mean, apparently it did well. There was apparently a need for it.
It does well, It's in its third printing. It still sells a lot, and I work with many students every year helping them discover themselves and discover writing and discovering themselves through writing, which is been a wonderful experience for me. Teaching was always something that I had in mind. And in fact, at one of these low point in my writing career, I went back to school and I got a master's in education. It was sort of right after this true crime book that I'm talking about, when just things got really slow. And I decided I'd be a teacher. But then the world of soap opera came along, and I got sucked into that for a couple of years. And I never taught. But this experience that I have now, where I work one-on-one with students all over the world, is just like a dream kind of teaching experience. Because I work with very motivated students. It's just me and them. And we get really into some very exciting places with the writing.
That's fascinating because I do love to teach writing. And a lot of the things I teach, one of the things I teach is the personal essay now, but I teach it to adults almost exclusively. I rarely, every once in a while, a teenager will wander into one of my workshops. And I'm always surprised, but usually it's adults. And so, and it does strike me when I talk to teenagers, it's that they're still in a different, such a different place mentally than someone who's 40 and really wants to take a shot at this. So what is the main hurdle you have to overcome with the 18-year-olds or the 17-year-olds when they're coming to the personal essay, which is really, that's what the admissions essay is, right? It's really just a, would you describe it that way, as a personal essay, or would you?
It's a deeply personal essay. It's totally emotionally driven. They have to really, explore their inner life and put out some, create a narrative that reflects something about their inner life that will seize the attention of very burdened readers.
I like that description, yes.
Well, they are, they're hugely burdened. So the biggest hurdle is sort of, it's more their hurdle than mine, it's sort of carving out a place where they can be with the writing and not be, and sort of push the pressure away, because everything you know about applying to college these days, and certainly, you know, what we've heard in the news about, you know, the intensity of people paying gazillion dollars to, you know, coaches and whatnot to get their kids into school, you know, all that stuff, which I don't experience at all, let me say. But, you know, there is that pressure. I know. Never will. The pressure is intense, and so we have to carve out a space to do the writing, and that's just we do it, you know.
Yeah, and do you have trouble? Go ahead.
Excuse me. Oh, I was just going to say, going back to what you were saying about, you know, there isn't. I haven't found that much of a divide between what the 17-year-olds do and what I have done with writers my age and older. Let's call them baby boomers, because that was the focus of my second book about writing. Which is called Having the Last Say, Capturing Your Legacy in One Small Story. In fact, I just use the model of what I do with these students to apply to people my age who want to do a life review exercise. So we create the same kind of narrative, like a 500 to 1,000-word narrative. In the case of the older writer, it's focused on an ethical value that they've lived by. That's the hook.
Oh,
and it's meant to be left as a keepsake for people in your life, or really, I mean, the reason why I sort of wanted to do this book is because as a person who's not young anymore, I found myself sitting in a lot of, sitting at funerals and feeling like I wanted to hear the voice of the person one more time.
Right.
And so I felt like, you know, somebody could write something and then have it read at their funeral. And people who worked with me on these projects did just really beautiful things around moments that would have been lost otherwise. I think that's what I really valued about that whole thing, that these were lost moments that were found and held on to and became very meaningful for those people who read them.
And so the third book, the one just out, is Seven Steps to Confident Writing. And unlike the first two, which focused on people's personal narrative, and by the way, I could spend the entire 30 minutes and more just talking about personal narrative. I love asking it, but it's now my main form of communication myself. But you've got this other book, which is less specific. Well, we could, but I kind of want to get into this. It's less specific, and it's, as the title says, it's Seven Steps to Confident Writing. When you imagined this book, I mean, it's focused in one way, but it's also kind of open-ended in another. What was what was the germ behind it? Like, I've picked up a bunch of basic things that apply to all kinds of writing, and I want to share it with people. What was the first idea around writing this?
All right. So really the impetus for doing this was my coming to the realization that I have these intense and quite intimate interactions with people that I may never see again or hear from again after we connect for, let's say, 2 weeks to 2 months, something like that.
Yeah.
And during that time period, I noticed that even in that sort of, pretty short time period, that I saw a considerable elevation of their writing level in that amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I found myself, well, how does that come to be, you know? And I think part of it is being exposed to somebody who is a writer, who values it, and who passes on, you know, things that he loves and feels strongly about writing. And I sort of decided to dissect the act of writing as I've experienced it, as my students experience it, as people I've worked with experience it, and, you know, what goes into it. So it's a pretty sort of holistic approach to the act of writing. It's not just about this or that, but it's about, you know, kind of the big picture of it and, you know, what goes into it in terms of psychological dynamics you know, sort of basic kind of understanding of writing that can apply to any writing situation, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so did you, as you began to put this book together, did you discover things? I know this is true for me. I wrote a book called Fearless Writing. And I based it on these lectures I would give. And I said, well, I'll just sort of transcribe the lectures into a book. And I did this for about 2 days and I got terribly bored. And I said, I know I've got to like discover something or I can't do it. And so did you find yourself learning things as you wrote the book itself that you hadn't really thought of or hadn't crystallized for yourself?
Well, I think I knew most of these things inherently, but task of getting it down on paper and being able to communicate it to somebody else was certainly illuminating. And that task, which I'm describing, is one of the tentpoles of the book, which is that writing is about communicating, you know? So there are people that I work with that kind of have, and you know, typically, Bill, I work with people who, particularly students, 17 or 18 year olds who they don't care that much about writing. I mean, they're not bad writers. Most people I work with, I always tell people that, you know, of the thousands of students I've worked with, I think, you know, about three or four of them really made me sit up and feel like that person could be a writer.
Yeah.
And maybe a handful, you know, made me sort of hang my head in despair. Like how could they, you know, they just really didn't get it, you know?
Right.
But everybody else was sort of in the range, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So these students, they don't really, they're okay, but they're okay writers, but they don't care that much about it.
Right.
A lot of
right.
them are STEM sort of students who, you know,
right.
only are interested in writing for a purpose. So I wanted to particularly target that audience and say, you know, here are some things about writing that you may never have thought of that I think you'll find helpful, that you do write for an audience, you know, that you have a contract with a reader and you have a contract with yourself as a writer and you know, sort of general kinds of concepts like that.
When I teach writing, one of the things that surprises me, I mean, a lot of people come are really interested in writing, you know, they always have been, but sometimes they have more, like you said, come from a more technology side of things or a scientific side. And the thing that always surprises me that I have to teach people is that writing is always about storytelling. And that storytelling is always about the felt experience of life, that you, if you're not conveying a feeling, you're really not conveying anything. And I'm always surprised that that is a surprise to the students, that isn't known automatically, but that is something that a lot of people have to sort of hadn't put together on their own, that the feeling of the story is everything. Well, first of all,
did you happen to see the grand finale of Game of Thrones the other night?
I did not. You know, it's funny. I have watched one half of one episode of Game of Thrones. I just stumbled onto it. It was the Red Wedding while the Red Wedding was happening.
Right.
That is all.
Well, it is. You know, it's pretty great storytelling, but it's funny because the end of the last episode was that the sort of takeaway message was, it's all about stories, you know, and I had to sort of like say, wow, you know, that's really powerful. You know?
Wow. Well, but do you find that to be the case that the helping, I mean, that's what I spend so much of my time with my students doing is helping them understand how to bring the felt experience of what they've gone through to the page. Well, I should say this. One of the interesting things about writing, I think, is that unlike painting or music, I play music and I like to sing and play the piano, or acting, I did that for a while, is that unlike all those other art forms, with writing, all we get is language. All we get is thought, which is what a language is. And to be able to turn life into just language, turn feeling into just language, is a unique challenge, yeah? Unlike all those other things where we get one of our five senses. We don't get the five senses when we write, just thought.
Well, we try to evoke the senses.
That's right. We evoke them, but we don't get to actually use them. Like, you can't use your smell or your taste or your sound. Right.
On the other hand, anybody can do it. You don't have to invest money in it.
That's right.
You don't have to have parents to take you to lessons to do it. You know, which
no, you don't.
Kind of my story, because like I was kind of artistic and musical, but I, for one reason or another, my family didn't pursue lessons around things like that. So I said, I guess I'll write. You know.
All right. Well, so they were through neglect, they were nudging you towards your career.
That's right.
Benign neglect. Well, so, but do you have trouble, but to go back to that feeling thing, do you have to help them understand that felt side of it, or is that really not a thing you've run into?
Well, that is the sort of base of the approach that I use, and that's been the success of my book, because my book, you know, there's quite a few books out on the market, as you're probably aware, on how to write a college admissions essay. A number of them come from an admissions perspective. They're from, you know, people who had been or are admissions officers at schools. And those books are about, you know, kind of like, and they're valuable. I'm not going to say they're not, you know, but they're more like, you know, how do you sort of psych out the admissions process? Right?
Oh, I hate that. I'm sorry. I hate it. But okay.
My book happens to be the only book about the college admissions essay that is ranked on books about writing. So if you go to Amazon, you'll see my book is there with, you know, Anne Lamott and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
And so my book is really about the narrative, you know? I distill the elements of a narrative. We talk about why you want to use the narrative for this situation. And in short, the reason why you want to use a narrative for the situation is for the very things you're talking about, because there's a primal desire in human beings to hear and to tell stories, you know? So it's sort of hardwired into us. And so the busy reader, the burdened reader that I was alluding to before, you know, they don't want to get these essays about, you know, here's what I did last year and, you know, this is why I think, you know, they want to hear a story, you know? So you know, when I do this work with students, you know, we talk about the challenges of writing a story, you know, the once, where do you pick up the story? Where in the arc of time are you going to situate your story? What is the extraordinary event that's going to ignite this story? What is the tension and conflict that undergird it, you know?
Yeah.
What's the point of it, you know? It's a crash course in stories is what we do.
Yeah, but you know what the interesting thing about story? Well, first, there's two things about story I always think of. First of all, we live in story. We spend our whole life hearing stories from telling each other stories, watching stories. And yet there's that great quote by Flannery O'Connor. I don't know if you know it, but it's everybody knows what a story is until they try to tell one. And then it seems to, you know, you start understanding all that goes into it and all that all that has to be pulled out for the thing to make sense. Yeah.
It's very hard work. It really is.
Yeah. It is, but it's gratifying. It's great. And you love teaching this stuff. You find it satisfying working with the kids?
You know, I love teaching this, Bill, because I love it on a lot of levels. I enjoy helping these students. And, you know, I don't write for students. This is not, you know, a writing essay writing service. They don't pick menus.
Right.
They don't pick topics off a menu or anything like that.
Right.
We go through a very organic process and they must feel total ownership over what they do. But, you know, I'm an agent in helping them pursue something that's very important to them. And when they realize that dream, it's exciting for me. But also, I'm very excited on the story level because so many of them come up with pieces that are, you know, I could read them 2 years later and I can have tears in my eyes, you know?
That's great.
They're profoundly affecting, you know? And, you know, that's great.
So, all right. If people want to learn more about you, Alan, if they want to hire you to help their kid write a personal essay, or maybe they just want to just find out more about you, where's the best place to go?
Well, there are two places that I can be easily found. One is alangelb.com, which is pretty much focused on my new book, Seven Steps to Confident Writing, but leads you to down some passageways to other books. And then my essay writing, college essay business is called ConquerTheCollegeEssay.com.
ConquerTheCollegeEssay.com. Oh, that's simple enough. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not quite through with you. Got one more question.
Sure.
I want you to finish the sentence for me. If writing has taught you anything, it's taught you what?
It's taught me stamina. You know, a writing career has taught me stamina. It's a tough career, and I think I've felt good about hanging in there. And it's also taught me that there's always potential for discovery. I'm always learning new things about writing, and I really enjoy that.
I love it. Well, Alan, it's been a pleasure talking with you about stories and writing and just your life. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be talking with you too, Bill, and I appreciate your having me on. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take it easy.
Bye.
Well, that's it, people. Learn. It's all about learning and discovery. Go into your stories to learn what you have to say. I will be back again next week with somebody else. I don't remember who. It doesn't matter. I want to thank my producer, RJ Jeffries. Thank you, RJ. You're awesome as always. In the meantime, go find something you love and do it.